This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
I want to share a few minutes with you today about, are you the only stranger? And if you would turn with me to Luke chapter 24, if you have a Bible. Luke chapter 24. Are you the only stranger? Luke chapter 24. I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. This word's very personal to me because growing up, you know, by the time I was 18, I had moved almost 30 times, had lived in 5 states, many cities. And growing up as a youngster, I was always getting to make friends, and then all of a sudden I had to move. And then I would come in as a new kid, and everybody looking from their desk, you know, to, you know, look me up and down, who's this kid? And I would make more friends, and then I would get moved again, and then I would make more friends, always being the new kid on the block. And finally, I got tired of it, and I said, I'm not going to make friends no more because I'm just going to lose them. And as I already know how this is, I'm just stranger than the next guy. And that's why this message means a lot to me personally as well. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Now, behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near, not just anybody, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained or held back so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you're having with one another as you walk and are sad? Then one of whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happen here in these days? I want to focus on those words. Are you the only stranger? Which was an amazing thing to say to the Lord, because the Lord could honestly say, well, yes, I happen to be the greatest stranger in this world, even though I created it. As the scripture prophesied about Christ, not only to be our Savior, but that he would also be the one who would be despised and rejected by men. And everywhere he would go, even his own disciples, when he's walking on the water, many different times, they screamed that it was a phantom or it was a ghost. And he said, it's me. After his resurrection, he appeared to Mary there at the tomb, and she didn't recognize him. Are you the gardener? And here in this story as well. And many times the Lord's doing things, or he comes to you and you see him as a stranger. So the Lord is very much familiar with the feeling of being a stranger. The world was made by him, and yet the world did not know him. He came to his own nation, his own people, rejected even amongst his own nation. And here some disciples are looking at him, and look how patient he's still walking with them. And they're like, are you the only stranger here? I don't know too well the definition of a stranger, but I suppose a foreigner, someone from elsewhere, from some other place. My personal definition is someone that you think is stranger than you are. And really, they're not, but you think they are. So that they're a stranger. Who's that stranger? Someone more strange. That's why I appreciate so much those in the church. They may never preach, they may never sing, but they just love and receive people, and they just love the stranger. And I just see Jesus all over that. You know, how would it be if, you know, coming up here and preaching or singing and then coming down and then just, you know, being cold to each other? And that could not be the testimony of Jesus. And we come to realize I'm not the only stranger. Jesus, the first one. When I would visit the jails and the prisons, God would put that in my heart. One service we had, we were going to have multiple services, and I noticed that the men were kind of restrained or held back during the preaching and the praise and worship, and I was praying about that, and God told me, next service there in the prison, go stand by the door, and as they come in, I want you to just hug them and welcome them. And I stood right there, and, you know, the different pods, the different buildings were being released, you know, and as they were coming through, maybe some of them, their faces were like this. I would just tell them, hey, you made it. And hey, I'm glad to see you. Hey, welcome. Hey, I'm glad you're here. And give them a hug. And by the time that service started, God just showed me a whole different atmosphere that was there in that gym of that penitentiary. And the men were clapping and they were rejoicing. They were hugging one another. See, it's very important to the heart of God how we treat strangers. We won't go all through it, but let me mention a few scriptures to you today. You can read or you can look on the screen. Exodus 22 and 21 says, you shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Anytime the Bible says in the land of Egypt, it means you were lost in the world. You were not saved. You didn't know God through Jesus. You knew of God, but you didn't know him. You heard about him, but you weren't like part of his household. You weren't like saying, I'm a son or I'm a daughter of God. Remember that you were strangers before you came to the Lord. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 34. Listen to this. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18 through 19. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow, and he loves a stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You ever thought about every baby born into this world is born into this world a stranger? You don't really know who they are. They might not even be named. They're not named yet. You don't even know really what they're going to look like or how they're going to be or who they are. Every baby comes into this world a stranger. Every person born into this world. Well, let me give you a little bit of New Testament scripture here on this. Hebrews chapter 13. Would you turn or look up here for this one? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 1. How many of you think you might have met an angel before and you didn't realize that you had met an angel? I believe all of us have and we didn't realize it. That kind of really alerts me, this scripture that I'm about to read, because you've run into people that God has sent you, and even angels, and you never even knew it. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Don't stop it. Let it continue. And do not forget to entertain strangers. Say strangers. For by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Remember the prisoners as if chained with them. Those who are mistreated, like what we're hearing about today, like you will continue to hear, those that are mistreated, since you yourselves are also in the body, meaning this earthly. When he says in the body, he means in this mortal body, this weak human body. You also are in the body. And so remember those who are mistreated. Remember those that are locked up, either for the faith or maybe for their own sins, but they're locked up. And remember how you treat strangers, because sometimes it's an angel that God sends. And sometimes one brother called me outside one day. He had come into one of the homes and got set free. And I had been sharing with them, ministering to them. The Holy Spirit was ministering to them, not me. I can't do anything, but he was ministering to them. And he said, come outside with me. And we went outside and under the moon, and he got me alone. He said, come here. He goes, I want you to Tell me the truth, he said. Are you an angel? So I smiled real big. I go, I can guarantee you, I wasn't married yet, I would have said you can ask my wife, but I can guarantee you I'm not an angel, I told him. He goes, no, tell me the truth, tell me the truth. Nobody's listening, just tell me, like he wanted the inside scoop, you know. Just tell me, just between you and me. I said, no, let me tell you where Jesus brought me from and just shared my testimony, what a devil I was, what a child of the devil I was, and how God loved me and received this stranger into his household and washed me with his blood. Thank you, Jesus. That's why Jesus mentions in places like Matthew 25, he talks about whatever you do to even one of the least of these brothers of mine, even more than angels, he says, you did it to me. However you treated someone else. But Lord, when did we feed you? When did we show kindness to you? When did we show mercy to you? He said, when you did it for one of these brothers or sisters of mine, he said, it was me. You did it for me. Be careful. See how we see one another. I believe when speaking to believers, I ask God to help me because, you know, when you're speaking to a lost sinner, it's not just coming up and telling them, hey, you need to stop drinking, you need to stop smoking, you need to stop doing, you know, that's not the full gospel. And it's not them saving themselves. So we want to preach. Jesus said, with grace, seasoned with salt. We want to speak the truth. You don't want to lie to people. It's okay that you're lost, you're serving the devil. I'm sure that everything will be fine. You're going to go to heaven. You have to tell them the bad news. Yes, you have to tell them the truth. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, to speak the truth in love that we may all grow up, even amongst each other. We're to speak the truth in love to one another that we may grow. I remember my son Timothy when he was 3 years old. I was after church carrying him around, introducing him to some church members there where I was at that time. And this huge man, he was a very large man, see? And I said, you know, this is brother so-and-so. And say hi, Timothy. And he looked at me and he looked at him and he looked down. He's really fat, right, Dad? He's a really fat man. And I go, Timothy, I go, tell him you're sorry right now. He goes, no, brother, it's okay, it's okay. He goes, out of the mouth of babes, right? Out of the mouth of babes. Don't worry about it. I know he's telling the truth because he was very huge. And my son, like, no, he spoke the truth, you know. But see, we as you get older, you can't get by with things like that. You know, you got to be very careful speaking the truth, but make sure it's spoken with what? My son was speaking in love. He was just like, look, wow, he's really big. I was so embarrassed. Stephen, this disciple of the Lord, he spoke the truth, and he got killed for it. But he spoke the truth with love. It's going to sound kind of harsh, but it's with love, and we're going to see that. I want to show you this in the book of Acts, chapter 7. I pray that we could see the love of God today. Some of you have stubborn uncles, or you have a stubborn son or a stubborn husband, and it gets you so mad, and you just want to grab them by the ears, or you want to grab them by the beard. You want to twist their arm to change them. I want you to look in Acts chapter 7, verse 51. And Stephen, I'm picking up in the middle of his message, so it's going to sound harsh right there. But it's with love. I'm going to prove this. He says in verse 7, chapter 7, verse 51, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, you're doing the same thing. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold of the coming of the Just One. Speaking of Jesus. Of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. You've rejected every stranger that God has sent to you. And even now, Jesus himself, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And this is just too real for them. And Jesus, the stranger of all strangers, is standing up, seeing his Son, who's treated and rejected as a stranger there, standing up, and he sees him. You know, Stephen's about to be received into heaven. And let me tell you something about heaven. There are no strangers in heaven. It cannot be found. I know my mom never met your mom, Brother Darren, but they're not strangers in heaven. The moment she saw her, she knew her, because the scripture says, as we are known, we shall know then even as we are known. You don't get to heaven and feel like out of place and you're not going to be in heaven. It's not like this world. There are no strangers in heaven. The opposite, in hell, it's nothing but strangers. Heaven is a place, no strangers, because there's no one going to look and say, who's that stranger than me? Who's that stranger? Because we will see them the way God sees them. The only way we can do that now is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because before Jesus, I looked at everybody and I thought evil towards every person. But when God filled me with the Holy Spirit, I saw how precious they were. Instead of wanting to hurt them, I wanted them to get saved. And I would weep for them, not even knowing them. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Spirit in our life, giving us that vision. 1 Timothy chapter 2, let me read that. This is why he says scriptures like this that you'll read. And I'm just sharing with you some today of things that God has shown me. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 says, I will that all men everywhere would lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. I think of that, lifting up holy hands and without wrath and without doubting. In other words, when you're praying for people, you're to know that it's God's will to save them. Stephen knew. After Stephen saw that vision, they took him out of the city and they stoned him with stones. And the last thing he prayed was, Father, don't hold this sin against them. And then he died. How did he have that love that while they're beating him with rocks and stoning him to death, but he prays for them, please don't hold this sin against them. There's something heavenly, something that he realizes that, Father, I was a stranger to you. They're strangers to you. They don't even know you. That's why they're doing this. That's why they rejected you. That's why they're hating me. But I was once a stranger, so please don't hold this sin against them. And that love and that power from heaven. And through that prayer right there, the very next chapter after Stephen is martyred, the Apostle Paul, who was not the Apostle Paul yet, God comes and knocks him off his high horse and saves this evil, wicked man because of one person who believed that God loves the stranger. Even if they're evil people, he loves them. Jesus, you died for them. Who am I to ask you to judge them when you were hanging on the cross praying, Father, forgive them, and I was one of them. And this love is in me now. It's in me. It's part of my nature to love the stranger. I got an email from someone the other day. I have no idea who it was. The email, and honestly, I have no idea who it was. It was a teaching on that the answer for the church today is segregation. If we would come back, that it was God's will that it be all white churches, all black churches, all brown churches, all Indian churches, all yellow churches. And it would on and on. And I was in disbelief reading that. And I felt so sad for whoever, I don't even know who it was. I felt so sad for whoever sent me that. Because it's so against the heart of God. This will be the answer. See, when you don't have God's heart, you look to everything else for the answer. This is the answer for the churches. We need all segregation. Oh, no, no, no. We need to do what the Lord says and love the stranger and love one another. Out of every tongue, tribe, and nation, though they might look stranger, Jesus had no outward appearance that he would be desired. He was no fancy preacher. He was no handsome man. He was someone that they thought, who's this? He's nobody. And that's how Jesus chose to come. Aren't you glad? Can you say thank you, Jesus, for that? Thank you, Jesus. This is why Jesus said, blessed are the merciful. You remember him saying that? And amazingly, when he talks to the Pharisees, he tells them, you're taking care of this and that. He said, but the weightier things, that's in Matthew 23:23, the weightier, the heavier things, he said, are justice and mercy. Say mercy. And Jesus, see, they thought that's a light thing. Showing mercy, that's a light thing. The heavy things is our religious instruction and what we do. He said, no, the heavier thing, the weightier things is mercy. That's when the power of God comes. When you, having been shown mercy, are showing mercy to others, that's when God begins to heal and set free. Why is mercy a weightier thing? You know, people take it like, oh, yeah, I'm merciful. I show mercy. I let the guy get in there when I was there driving, and he was trying to get in. And I told him, go ahead, man. I'm very merciful. Even in the world, when I would drink, I would share beer with someone. Here, man, here's a beer. Here's a cigarette. And we think that, you know, we're so merciful. But when you look at the Lord Jesus, thank you, Jesus, that he covers us. Why? I want to answer this question. Allow the Holy Spirit through the scripture. Mark chapter 9. Why is mercy considered a heavier thing? Mark chapter 9, if you would turn or look up on the screen. Mark chapter 9 and verse 38. Now John answered him saying, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow after us. They don't go to our church. They're not in our group. And they were casting out demons in your name. And we forbade them because they don't follow us. But Jesus turned and said, do not forbid them. For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterward speak evil of me. For he who is not against us is on our side. Now wait. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink. See, he's still talking about strangers. In my name. Because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, he's saying, think how serious this is. Before you go off getting distracted, thinking that you're put on this earth to judge other groups, no, you're put for something much weightier than that. Because anyone who's living a life making these little ones to stumble, it would be better that a millstone was hung around their neck. My wife and I, she read to me a horrible story on the news about these young girls that are being abducted and raped there in India. And then they were hung from the trees, I think it was India, and how that a whole village is mourning this 14 or 18-year-old, something like that, because they're working out there and there's no restroom. So when they go to use the restroom, men grab them and take them and they gang rape them and then they murder them. And then they hang them like trophies on the trees. And I'm speaking sensitive because rape happens here in America too. And all kinds of abuse happens here in America with children. But there's things going on that we just don't think about. But the Lord does. There's things that we don't, and I'll be honest, if God doesn't wake me up, I'm unaware. I'm just taking care of business, doing what I got to do, and unaware of the pain that God feels and that mothers and families. Well, he says it's better than a millstone hung around the neck and thrown into the sea if you're one of those. But then he goes on. Look at this, verse 43. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Be better to go to heaven maimed than to go to hell with two hands that you've been selling drugs or you've been, you know, handing a beer to your nephew or you've been leading people. And that's where Jesus tells his disciples who were saying, Lord, we rebuked them people who were speaking in your name, but they're not in our group. Jesus said, hey, you're missing the whole point. And I'm not going to read all this, but he's saying, there's a hell. And judgment will come to all who are not in Christ. And I've ordained you to be a light. That's why we're called to receive strangers. Because we've been brought into this glorious gospel, forgiven of our sins. Look down at verse 50. Salt is good, but if the salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. Why? Sometimes someone will make me very angry because of something they did to hurt someone. And I have to go to prayer, and I'm there praying, and then I'll tell God, but God, I don't want this person who's hurting people, I don't want them to go to hell. They deserve it. They deserve to go to hell, just like I deserved it. But I don't want them to go to hell. Even if they've hurt me and my family, I tell God, I don't want them in hell. That's not where I want them. Jesus said, you're going to get caught up with all these other things and forget the weightier things of why I've called you, why you're still on the earth, why I saved you. To receive strangers. My wife shares with me, because I don't, on purpose, I don't spend much time on the internet or TV because I have so much burdens on my heart. I just don't have time, you know. But my wife will read the stories, and we hear, and some of you hear. We travel a lot, so we're not so up to date, but we prayed today for Israel. You know about Israel and Hamas or the Palestinians. Right now, Syria is not being talked about much, from what I understand, even though they're still committing genocide and murder and men, women, and children. Russia and the Ukraine, the wars that are happening right now in Africa, whatever, wherever it was, these 200, and forgive me for my ignorance, these 200 girls that were abducted, and the news is filled with that all because it's happening. And sometimes I think it's good that we hear. It's not good to dwell on it, but it's good to hear it. Turn with me to Luke 21. I'm not going to share much longer. Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 25. We were reading this last night, my wife and children and I. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon. My son said, what signs? Because he wants to know what's going to happen in the sun. I said, I don't know, but Jesus said there will be signs in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations. Listen to these words. Perplexity, that means nobody knowing what to do. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up. Say look up. Look up. My kids and I talk about this. It doesn't mean we drive like this or we're walking like this. There's something spiritual about this. Say spiritual. Look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. There's something that the believer is to carry that no one else carries with them, because before I got saved, I didn't have the spirit of faith. I didn't believe in an almighty God. And let me say this. He's almighty. He's also all positive, even though we're in a world that's so negative and so evil. When I say all positive, I mean everything about God is good. Everything he does is good. But this word says you're to have something that the world doesn't have. Lift up your heads. You're not to be now that I'm a stranger and I treat everyone else like strangers. No, I'm a stranger in this world. Yes, I'm a pilgrim. I'm a sojourner. My home's in heaven. But I know what it is to be a stranger. I was born into this world a stranger. I've been treated like a stranger. I was once a stranger to God until I believed that Jesus died on the cross for my sins according to the scriptures. Until I gave my life to him. Then God, instead of destroying me, he forgave me and picked me up. So I know what it is to be a stranger. And I know when there's strangers out there and they're needing love. I read scriptures like this, Philippians 4:8. You ever read that and think, how? He says, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is just, whatever is lovely, whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. How, like after speaking what I just spoke to you, how can we sit there and think on something pure? We're thinking about these two young teenage girls. He's not saying to walk oblivious to what's happening in this world. He's not saying, I don't think on that. I only think on good things. To ignore needs and the poor. No, he's not saying that. He's saying, keep your mind in heaven. Keep your mind in my thoughts towards you. See yourself the way I've seen you now, that I've forgiven your sin. Don't get bogged down, because then you'll start being defensive with everyone. You won't open up and receive the stranger. You won't have that faith, that boldness. It's important where you keep your mind. Are you hearing this? But how am I going to do that in a time like this, to not be depressed, to not be down? It's by setting my mind on Christ, who came into this world as the strangest stranger of them all, Jesus. I love him. Let me read to you this scripture. It's about, because I'm talking about the lost, but I want to talk just a few minutes about how we see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen to this, or turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. Listen to this. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Have you ever tried to sit back and hold back the love of God, but somehow God keeps, that's the Holy Spirit in you. That's him telling you, no. I put you on this earth for a reason. No. You go to that person. No, you call that brother. You call that sister. No. You go after them. But they're just going to put me down. You humble yourself. That's the love of Christ compels us. But look on from here, verse 15. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, here it is, we do not see each other according to the flesh. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh. I mean, he was Jesus of Nazareth. He was born as a baby. We knew he grew up there in all these. But see, now we know who he is. He became a man, but he is the Lord Almighty. We know who he is. We don't know him thus any longer. Therefore, if any one, any man, any person, any brother or sister is in Christ, he is a new creation. You might not see it. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That might not make sense to you. Verse 18. Now all these things are from God, who has reconciled us, took us in as strangers, and then he did something else. He didn't hold our sins against us, our trespasses, and then he gave us, say us. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what that is? Telling others you can come to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. You want to know something about my Savior? He received strangers. He came into the world to save sinners. He gave us this ministry, and we have it. But God says, before you go off winning souls, I want to address something with you, Rob, and all of you. Before that, I want you to love your brother, your sister, all your brothers and sisters in my household first. Winning souls is just as important, but it's not the first importance. It's just as important, but there is an order of importance. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, when you have opportunity, do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. What does he mean by that? Do good to all men, but especially. In other words, before you get off, I love to win souls, I love to testify. He says, yeah, but what about loving your brother that's so cavazulo, or he's so stubborn, or he's such a hard head? What about loving him? He's your brother. Go love him as I've loved you. Because sometimes our own family can become a stranger. Sometimes, me, and I pray this, that God helps me every day. I pray that, you know, my wife never sees me in my own house as a stranger. She feels so strange with me, because, or she feels as strange. in the body of Christ, we need to be very sensitive because time is short. Galatians 6:1, if anyone's overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, you know what that means? Heavenly minded. You restore that person because you're thinking with God's thoughts. Don't try to handle people's problems without the Holy Spirit. Don't correct your husband or wife or your children or your parents without the Holy Ghost. Don't try to help that person that's lost without the Holy Spirit. You which are spiritual. The mind of Christ. A couple more. I have a word too, Brother Darren, that I believe that God gave me for you. But I want to read this passage to the congregation. First Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. Would you hear these words? You could read them or just listen. 1 Peter 4:7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, look how he speaks. Even weightier than that. Have fervent love for one another. This is not the word of a man or some just positive speaker telling you we ought to all get along. Can't we all get along? This is the word of God. Have fervent love for one another. You want to know how to defeat the devil? You want to know how to overcome his tricks against you? Obey this word. Have fervent love because love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another. That's receiving strangers without grumbling. Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. Oh, God, help me with this brother, this sister. No, he says, no, without grumbling. Be hospitable. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards. You're not the owner. You're the steward of the manifold grace of God. One more. Are you ready for this? I'm going to share one more with you. The only way we can continue doing God's work in this hour is things are getting hotter and they're getting darker. We don't want to just pull into a shell, and I don't want to hear none of what's going on. And no, we want it to lead us to prayer, to lift up holy hands without wrath or doubt, and believing that God still saves and interceding, that God put us on this earth at this time for this special time. And the enemy of our souls will come against us. He'll come against you, and he's going to try to get you to stop doing what you've been hearing right now. Get you to stop loving the stranger. Get you to stop believing that God still saves and can save your friends. Nehemiah chapter 6. I'm going to read 3 verses and close with that. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to bring healing into our lives today because he loves his body, and he didn't just call you and leave you alone. Like Pastor Darren said, he's called you, but you're not alone. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 1. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab. Now these are enemies of the Lord's work. It would be the devil and his demons. And the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, Nehemiah is saying, and that there were no breaks left in it, even though I hadn't even hung the doors in the gates yet. Verse 2. Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, they sent a word, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain. Come down from there. Come over here with us. We want to talk to you. And the Bible says so that they could do him harm. That's what the devil's always trying to do, get you to come down. Why are you there praising Jesus? Why are you there thinking about him? Come down from that heavenly place. Come down back down here and let's talk about this because he wants to do you harm. He wants you to stop seeing yourself as a new creation, forgiven, and that God loves you. He wants you to stop seeing your brother and sister and others maybe in your neighborhood or at this school or at your work. He wants you to stop seeing them with heavenly vision because he knows it will stop the work of God. He knows you'll no longer pray or you'll no longer go up to someone boldly and tell them with that ministry of reconciliation. God loves you and he wants to do something with a word for them. Come down. Verse 3, final verse. So I sent messengers to them. This is the word he gave me for you. It's for all of you. But he spoke to me that personally, for you. I know it's for me. Nehemiah sent back messengers to him and said, I'm doing a great work. He didn't mean great like I'm important. I'm doing, look how well I built this wall. I'm a great masonry artist. He was saying, this is the work of heaven. This is so, how can I come down to you? I cannot come down. I will not come down from where Jesus hung on that cross to pay for me to be brought up and seated with him in heavenly places. I cannot come down from there. There's a great work going on. Why should the work stop? Why should the work of this ministry stop? God has not said yet. You'll know that day when they say Christ is over there. Christ, Jesus said, don't listen to that. When the Son of Man comes, you're going to know. And until that day, why should the work stop? Why should sinners stop being saved? Why should backsliders stop being restored? Why should people stop being healed? I cannot come down to you. I know what you're trying to do, devil. I can't leave it and come down to you. And he ignored it and continued to think on what is pure and just and lovely and continued to believe the love that God has for him. We cannot come down. Cannot come down. God raised you up. We were once not a people. We're now the people of God. We have not obtained mercy. Now we've received mercy for a purpose and for a reason. Are you the only stranger? The Holy Ghost has chosen you for a reason. You're God's own chosen people, a holy nation. I want to take a moment to let the Lord just lead you to him. If you've been going through that battle, either the enemy's hitting you to see yourself, the enemy's lying to you, God doesn't love you, the people at this church don't know you. If they knew how much struggles you have, everyone would hate you. And who are you fooling? And not even God wants to put up with you. And he's telling you, come down, come down, come down. And why are you even loving your husband, your wife, or your children, your parents? Why do you even believe this? And God is calling you today to let him cover you. Let him pick you up today in your humble state that you're in. No matter how discouraged or depressed you might be, would you stand to your feet today?
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.